Josh, you had me. I was crying there in a few minutes ago while you guys were singing. No, that wasn't bad at all. You got me thinking about the bus routes. When I was a young man, young preacher, I was at Liberty Baptist Church for 3 years in Toledo, Ohio. And we had a bus route over North Toledo. We used to run between 75 and 100 every single Sunday. And it made me think of Kerry Helms. Well, I thank God for the bus routes. We used to pick up a lot of kids and a lot of underprivileged kids. We picked up this one boy named Little Kerry. It was off Monroe Street in Toledo. It was a dead-end street. And Bud Skiles was a bus driver, and he would drive that bus all the way down that street just so we can get carrying a bunch of other kids. And then he would back that bus up all the way up and driving in reverse to get out of there. And we'd do it every Sunday. Little Kerry got saved. I think Kerry was around 10 years old, 10 or 11. And they came for, he was coming for about 2 months. And then one day his mama called me. He'd been killed in a car accident. And she said, "Preacher," she called me Brother Rich. She said, "You made such a difference in my boy's life. You really touched his life." I said, "Ma'am, Jesus touched his life. And Kerry touched ours." By the way, a month before Kerry got killed, he got saved in Super Church with me. Trusted Christ as a Savior. So glad we ran the bus route. And I'm so glad old Bud Skiles, the bus driver, I'm glad he was willing to drive backwards down a whole street so he could get those kids. You keep them buses going. And there's people out there. And you just never know. I read the paper. Barbara told me this morning that lady died, Sandy Ford. She was 47 years old. I believe the paper said it's on the front page. That's not her. Howe, her last name now is Howe, but she was hit at Route 59 and 261 with a truck. Evidently, it was a he just hit her and ran. But you know, I was telling Barbara, I guarantee you, Sandy, didn't, when she got up a couple days ago, or that day she got up when she was hit, she wasn't planning on getting killed by a truck that day. You know, we never know when we're going to leave, do we? Yes, sir. Yeah, right. They came on the bus from Windham. Yeah. Isn't that exciting? Well, she's in heaven now. And you keep, sometimes you bus workers, you might say, are you bus drivers? I couldn't be a bus driver, man. I'd be pulling my hair out. All the screaming and yelling and, you know, trying to concentrate, and the bus captain's trying to keep him set in your chair. You have to be on it. I worked it for, even after I pastored Lighthouse, I literally ran my own, I ran a bus and did a route myself. I would run the bus, get off, teach Sunday school, preach, go back in the bus, greet the people, and get on the bus and drive people home when I was at Lighthouse. So I was in, and then when I came here, they had an old brown bus here, an old international bus they hadn't run for years. I pulled that, I went and got a battery, and put a battery in, said, we're starting our bus route back up. And yeah, you just keep bringing them in. God wants people to hear the word of God. God wants them to hear about Jesus. Amen? And you bus workers are getting me excited. I'm seeing those buses filled again. That's exciting. Keep it going. Don't let up. Keep it going. Jesus is coming back. Let's get all we can get. Let's get all the kids we can get saved before he comes back. Amen. And I'll sign up for some of them treats too. I'll look at that and sign up. Alrighty, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You bus workers, look up here. Work your bus routes every Saturday. The way you build a bus route, you can visit on Thursday and Friday, but there's something about the Saturday visit. If you don't knock on those doors on Saturday, chances are they won't come. You got to go the day before. You say, I'm going to do my route on Tuesday or Wednesday. You can do it, but they're going to forget you came. You go on Saturday. The people used to wait for me. We had a set time, and the mothers and dads used to wait for me. They'd show me their babies. I'd pray over their babies and stuff like that. The Spanish kids, you go Iglesia mañana, church tomorrow, you know. Jesus Cristo, te quiero mucho, Jesus Christ loves you very much. And I knew just a few words, because we had Spanish kids and black kids and white kids and all kinds of kids. We had all kinds of kids, you know, because I loved them all. If they jump up, you go, basta, basta. That means stop. It means stop or I'll break your neck, you know. But we had a lot of kids. We had some great days, huh? I sure love those kids. Man, I love those kids. And you get tired. There's times in the morning, you know, you say, boy, is it worth it? It's worth it. When we get to heaven, you're going to be glad. And you people that give towards them to help buy buses and keep tires on them and stuff like that, you'll be glad you gave. That's a mission field. You guys are missionaries to America. And by the way, I think the most needed country in the world today for missionaries is America. Okay, I'm going to try to get my message. Boy, I love those bus routes, though. I sure do. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse 28. I want to bring a message. Here's the title, John. Do you want to be an encourager? Do you want to be an encourager? Yes, I do. I want to be an encourager. Si, I'm glad you're here. I missed you this morning. Glad to see you tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. How many got Ephesians 4, 28? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. You know, the Bible says if we don't work, we ought not eat. We're getting to a generation that don't want to work. Everyone needs to work. Working's good for us. And the old generation, they knew all about working. I hope that we can instill work ethics in the young generation. Notice verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, don't be speaking bad. Don't be cussing. Don't be doing cause. You know, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, don't be a discourager. Be an encourager. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Boy, if I didn't say another word, if you just take those words that I just read and let them sink in your soul, buddy, there's a lot of preaching in those words just there alone. Heavenly Father, you put this in my heart about being a blessing, and I pray I can be a blessing tonight. I sure want to be. Thank you for everyone that came back. What a blessing to see the people. And Lord, I just pray now that you, Holy Spirit, fill me and, Lord, use me for the glory of God, I pray. Help me to do well for you, that I could be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I really believe if we would apply these truths that are laid down for us in those scriptures I just read to you, I believe we'd be an encouragement to people. Let me ask you this question. I'll be asking it over and over. Do you want to be an encourager or a discourager? Who wants to be an encourager? Who wants to be a discourager? See, you know, I remember reading in Numbers chapter 13, that remember Moses sent 12 men? Two men said, let's go get it. We can have it. Caleb and Joshua. But there's 10 men. The Bible says in Numbers 13 that those 10 men, out of those 12 men, he sent 10 too many. They discouraged the heart of the people. I don't want to be a discourager. I want to be an encourager. Amen? By the way, because they discouraged the people, they made the people lose out on blessings. They wandered for 40 years. They suffered loss. Are you with me? All because of those discouragers. You know, it's amazing. I wonder how many people that we discourage, that hardships come, and that they lose out because if we'd encourage them, they might be in church, they might be doing this, they might be doing that. We need to think about, what are my actions? What will be the results from my actions? Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be an encourager. Dr. Jim Delaschmidt, he's in heaven now, was a good friend of mine. How many remember Dr. Jim? Dr. Jim, he was an evangelist. He preached in this church many, many times. Matter of fact, when I came here in 1990, this church was so discouraged. In the first year and a half that I was here, I had Jim Delaschmidt come 3 times. And within 18 months, Jim Delaschmidt preached. We had 3 revivals. Jim Delaschmidt preached every one of them because he was such an encourager. And what made Dr. Jim such an encourager? Well, I know one thing. He always lifted up Jesus. He was an encourager because he lifted up Jesus. Dr. Jim was an encourager because he always was praising Jesus. How many remember Dr. Jim? Do you remember him? He'd get there and sing, and he'd make those funny faces with his face. And to me, he reminded me of Don Rickles all the time, you know. And that guy, I wish I could learn from him. That guy could preach 15 minutes, and it was just dynamic. And I had him at Lighthouse 1 year, Mark. We had all kinds of stuff on Easter, and I didn't get him up to preach. It was 12 minutes of 12 before I got him up to preach over in Toledo when I was at Lighthouse. He preached 12 minutes, closed out at 12 o'clock. 14 people came forward and got saved. Yeah, he was just a dynamic preacher. Those of you who've heard Dr. Jim, those of you who've got his singing tapes, you know who I'm talking about. He just was tremendous. He was they called him at Hammond, Indiana, at Dr. Howell's College, Hiles Anderson. They called him the encourager. Dr. Jim used to preach at First Baptist all the time in their college, and he was the only preacher that ever preached back-to-back messages at the school, at the campus, back-to-back. At least at that time he was. Now they might have had someone since then, but when he was living, he was the only one at that time to do it. That's how good he was. And Dr. Jim Delaschmidt, always lifting up Jesus, always praising Jesus, pointing people to Jesus. Loved Jesus, and he loved his salvation. How many love their salvation? Amen. You know, I've never got over being saved. I'm glad I'm thrilled about being saved. Amen. He was excited about being a child of God. I think a lot of times people get over the great thrill of being saved, being a child of God. His excitement for Jesus was encouraging. Everywhere he went, he encouraged people. I sure miss him. Man, I wish he could be with us right now. Now let me ask you, I wrote down a few points here tonight. Let me ask you some questions tonight. Do you want to be an encourager? Well, number one, if you want to be an encourager, then lift Jesus up. Lift Jesus up where you are with people. Lift them up when you're with people. Lift Christ up. When you're with people, lift Christ up. You know, in John 3:14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember how over there in Numbers, you lift up that brazen serpent, and they had to look up, they were all snake bit. Are you with me? If they look, they had to look up to be, have their, be healed. Are you with me? See, Christ, every person in the world has been snake bit. Because we've all been bit with the snake bit of sin. And the only thing that can save us is that risen Savior. Amen? And so everyone's been snake bitten by sin. Lift up Jesus to them. Give them hope. You see, Moses lifted up that brazen, which was a type of Christ on the cross, and that took our judgment for us. Are you with me? Brass is judgment. How many are with me? And Christ took our judgment, took our punishment on the cross, and he said, look to him, look to him. You know, if we'll just lift Christ up. Oh, man, I'm telling you. People need to see a lifted up Christ. Don't speak bad about the church. Don't speak bad about the preacher. Don't speak bad about God. Just lift Jesus up. Because everyone needs some hope today. Amen? Number two, you want to be an encourager? Then let people hear praise from your lips. Instead of complaining, instead of cursing, instead of sarcasm, instead of criticism. You know, I'm amazed at how much criticism, sarcasm, and complaining there is in the world today. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I want you to look at Psalms 149. Psalms 149. Psalms 149. If you want to be an encourager, lift Jesus up, number one. I said, if you want to be an encourager, then number one, lift Jesus up. I said, if you want to be an encourager, number two, then let people hear praise from your lips. In Psalms 149, verse 5 and 6. You know, people hear a lot of things from our lips. And what they hear, they remember. Hello? Yep. By the way, you could say 1,000 good things. You say one bad thing, they're going to say, wow. That's right. They forget all about what you did in the past. They just remember that one thing. Yep. Look at Psalms 149, verse 5 and 6. But the saints, that's people that are saved, let the saints be what? Joyful. In glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. How many see that? People ought to be hearing his praise. We ought to have, listen, you ought to have praise on your tongue. You know, too many times all people see, I'm telling you, out in the workplace, especially where you let your guard down, you're working, and you think, oh, these are just co-workers. And no, they're watching your life. They're listening to your words. And you know what? If they hear you every day complaining, making fun of things, saying things that aren't really of edification, I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to discourage them. But you ought to praise them. Go in there and praise them. Say, boy, man, I got a flat tire today going to work. I pray, glory to God. You know, the Bible says all things work for good. You know, that I love God. Maybe I would have been in a car accident. Boy, isn't God good? I mean, there's something you can praise. Boy, isn't God good? Man, I just love coffee in the morning. Tomorrow morning, I wonder if Dunkin' Donuts open tomorrow. It's 99-cent day for coffee at Dunkin'. And, man, I love their coffee. Every Monday, I come down there, Dunkin' Donut coffee, large, black. Man, I love their coffee. How many of you ever drank Dunkin' Donut coffee? I think they might have it in heaven. I'm not sure, but... kidding you. Anyways, what I'm saying is this. Well, they really am not. It's going to be Cracker Barrel. It's really going to be Cracker Barrel there, Josh. But anyways, there ought to be something that we can praise God for. I don't care what, look up here. I don't care what you're going through. Being alive is a gift from God. The air that I breathe, he just lent into me. And I owe all to God. You know, we need to start... We really need, in the day we're living, Brother Billy, with people, so many people discouraged. Brother Marty, people today are so under pressure. If there was a time, Brother Coolidge, that we could be effective for God, we just need some people with the right kind of attitudes and praise for a Savior. I really believe we could attract people just by the way we talk. Because people are searching. People are, look up here, people are afraid. People know this world's flipping out, and they. But look up here. Eddie, I've read the back of the Bible. I know what's going to happen. But Brother Mike, the world doesn't. They're terrified. I'm not terrified at all, Norma. I'm just waiting on Jesus. But Brother Billy, there's people, the majority of the people out there do not know what's, and they're terrified, and they're just looking and listening for someone that could give them a ray of hope. Boy, you know what? I told you, number one, you want to be an encourager? Lift up Christ. Lift him up. Number two, I told you, if you want to be an encourager, then let people hear the words of praise on your tongue. And then if you notice that verse 6 again, let high praises of God be in their mouth. I mean, really, let it go out. And a two-edged sword in their hand. I'm back in the Old Testament. But we have a sword now. Brother Andrew, we have a sword. Our sword's called the King James Bible. And so what are we supposed to do? We're to give them scriptures. Amen? We're to bring the Word of God to them. Share the scriptures with others. Praising God. I'm going to move on to the next point, but I just want to say, we need not to be sad sacks. So many Christians walk around depressed, discouraged. I wish I could just die. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to reach anybody that way. And by the way, how could you? They look at your miserable life and they say, if that's Christianity, I don't want it. Hello? Buddy, we should go and say, we should have a vibrance about our life. We ought to have an outlook, an excitement about our life. Hello? Folks, we could win people just by the praise. One man was telling me today, and I'm glad he did. Brother Truex, I guess their time clock or something was messed up the other day, and a bunch of people, because they couldn't tell, they punched out early, but he wouldn't. He stayed the full time. And I told him, good. I said, that just showed you had character. Those other people were characters. But I said, you show. And the one woman said to him, if I get in trouble, it's all your fault. Kind of like Ahab, Elijah, you're causing a lot. It's you that's causing all the trouble. I said, Bruce, do you know that one stand, you didn't have to mention the word Jesus one time. Just that standing for doing right. You know, I think what we need to encourage Christians to do today in a world of crookedness and evil, stand out for righteousness. And stand out with praise. Don't go there with gloom and doom. Go there with some excitement and some happiness and some joy. Amen? Did you see verse 5? I can't read this enough. Let the saints be what? Does that say gloomful or joyful? It means, that's right, it says joyful. Dude, if I went to where you work today and I asked your employer and your people at work, I'll say, do they have good, are they happy or are they discouraged? Are you a complainer or are you a praiser? Hello? Just remember, whatever you say, you're affecting those people one way or the other. Amen? I said, number one, to be an encourager, you need to lift up Jesus high before people. I said, number two, to be an encourager, you need to let praise come from your tongue. I said, number three, you want to be an encourager? Then say kind words of encouragement to others instead of harsh words and hatred and anger. We live with folks, there's a lot of anger even in Christianity and harshness. And we need to get God to work on our hearts. I mean that. Because we're many times we're too harsh. I have to watch myself. I have a bad temper. And God's working on me. Because I'm going to tell you, you come off with a bad temper, it's a bad testimony. Hello? And we need, look up here. How many want to be an encourager? Do you think we encourage people when we're harsh? Do you think the Bible says we're supposed to be long-suffering. Hard to do that all the time, though, isn't it? You know, Proverbs 25:11 says, a fitly word spoken are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Listen, people, let people know you appreciate them. Let people know you appreciate it. I'm talking about being an encourager. Say some encouraging words. Give some encouraging words to people. You see them do something? Say, man, I appreciate all these special singing and different things. Let them know you appreciate them. Hello? Let people know you're praying for them. Let people know you thank God for them. Send them a card of encouragement. Annie Sayler does this a lot. And I think it's a great thing to try to encourage people. Send a card or a letter or just give them a quick call. Hey, just want I can only be a minute, but I just want to tell you, you're on my heart today. Just want to tell you I love you and thank God for you. Man, boy, you guys are a blessing to the teen group. Bobby and Jamie, boy, thank you for being a blessing to the teen group. And have a great day. Talk to you. You know what? You'd be surprised. You don't have to. And by the way, I would advise not to be on the phone a long time. I'm talking about a one or 2 minute call. You know, hello, this is whoever this. Are you with me? Because I hate to be in that stinking telephone. When you call me, just have it lined up what you want to say to me. Then okay. I mean, I'll talk to you, but okay. Some people can stay on the phone all day long. Man, my ear hurts after a while. Be an encourager. You know, look up here. Let's think about being a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. Like these bus workers. I want to keep encouraging these bus workers. Man, they're bringing kids, and kids are getting saved. And that's not easy work. Let's encourage them. Amen? And these teachers, I'm looking at Ruthie. Our BBCA teachers and stuff. I'm seeing a bunch of our teachers. And, you know, let's encourage, say, man, I appreciate you dedicating your life for a school, for the cause of Christ. Let's be an encouragement. I saw Brother Kataiver and them working back here there, and Bobby, and I want to thank you for doing that. Man, Kataiver was painting that one that was yellow. He cracked me up. I had a yellow shirt on, almost identical to the color that the yellow they put on the wall. And he said, don't worry about leaning against the wall, preacher. And I said, oh, is it not wet no more? He said, no, but it won't matter. Look at your shirt. So I did, and it did match it, you know. Never know what's there. Look up here. We need to be thinking about being an encouragement. Now, don't be a phony. I'm not saying phonyism. But I mean from your heart. Being encouraged. Man, people are going through all kinds of problems. Let's be an encouragement. And by the way, it always comes back. It doesn't matter if it does, though. I just want to be an encouragement. Are you with me? I found this little old lamp a week ago, and for $2 at Hardville. And as a matter of fact, it was $3. I drew the guy, got it down to $2. Okay. And I bought that lamp for one reason: to give it to Annie, because it was the type she refit. And I came home and I said, I'm going to take her right now. I'm going to take her and Tommy right now. And it made their day. It made their day. Just a little small gift. No money involved at all. Are you with me? You know, folks, look up here. You don't have to go out and buy a $150 gift to do so. No, just from your heart. One time, I was out just walking, this is a couple years ago, I was just walking on our land. Now you're going to really flip on this. I just saw a rock. A rock. But I thought it was real pretty. And I knew Annie liked the landscaper, their home there, Irma Tommy. I picked that rock up, Josh. I ain't kidding you. And I put it in the trunk of my car. And it was like a little kid, like I was bringing her $1 million. I said, hey, Tom, hey, Annie, look what I got for you. Look at this rock. They loved it. I strained myself carrying it, but it cost me nothing. It's still in their front yard today. No, it's too heavy for anybody else to steal. Look up here. Let's try to be an encouragement. Well, you know, look, Beth will get this. Let's be an encouragement to all our people in our church. Are you with me? We're living in trying days. Let's try to be an encouragement. People need to be encouraged. You need to be encouraged. So number three, give some words of encouragement. Number four, you want to be an encourager? Well, then lend a possible hand. When possible, lend a helping hand. Look at sometimes the smallest act of kindness and thoughtfulness and generosity goes a long way to encourage someone's heart. Look at Proverbs. Proverbs, you're in Psalms, right? Look, just go up. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it's due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. In other words, when you can be a blessing and God tells you to be a blessing, be a blessing. You can't do everything for everyone all the time, but once in a while God will put someone in your heart, and if you can be a blessing, be a blessing. Look what it says there. I'm in Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them to whom it's due, when it's in thy power of thy hand to do it. In other words, maybe you could go and give someone help. I'll help you paint your garage, or I'll help you paint your house. I'll help you paint that room. I'll help you move your furniture. How many are with me? I'll help you do this. I'll help you do that. I'll bring in some cookies. Hello? And David's brought in soup and cookies for me. I think they're for David William, but I claim them because they're at my house. And possession's 9/10 of the law. Amen. Amen? What I'm trying to say is this. A lot of times the Lord might speak to you about something and say, you ought to be a blessing to them. You say, I don't know, God. No. If God speaks to your heart, and it's in your power to do it, because, and by the way, it doesn't have to be something big. Just a small look up here. Just a small thing sometimes goes so far with people. You know what, Mike? You know what people want to know, Brother Mike? That they're cared about. That they're loved. A little visit. I think Katie and Rosie and Tammy, there's one of our senior citizens here, and I think they went and did her windows one day. Went down and did her windows for her house. Phoebe Swain. And I think one day they took her out to see her husband up there. Listen, it's just those things. It's those things that you don't think about sometimes, but they're big. How many want to be an encourager? Well, then when it's in your power to do something, God speaks to you, do it. By the way, God blesses us. We're to be like him. Psalms 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We always want God to bless us, don't we? So then number one, I said, if you want to be an encourager, lift up the Lord. I said, number two, if you want to be an encourager, then give a fitly word spoken. Are you with me? Number four, you want to be an encourager, then lend a helping hand. Number five, do you want to be a blessing? Then don't forget to encourage yourself. Don't turn to but in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, but David encourage himself in the Lord his God. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, a lot of times we get discouraged ourselves. And Betty, if I want to be an encouragement to you and John, I got to keep myself pumped up. And so it's good for me sometimes just to dwell on what God's done for me. Brother Marty, ask God, thank God for what he's done for me and remember all the great things he's done for me. And I encourage, David, remember when he defeated Goliath? David, remember he chopped his head off? Boy, I'd like to have seen that. Poof. Wasn't that cool? Oh, I love those kind of stories. But that armor was real heavy. But everywhere David went, he took that armor with him. He never wore it. Because see, when David was getting would get discouraged, he'd go in that tent where that armor was. And he would remember when God gave him that day of victory. He would remember that day of battle, that God was his mighty shield. He'd see that big armor of Goliath, and he'd say, God, thank you for letting me beat that giant. You know, there's a lot of times we need to just get by ourselves and thank God for the giants he's let us beat. Amen? Through Christ, we've defeated some giants in our life. Lord, I remember when you healed my body. Lord, I remember when I was discouraged. Lord, we need to revisit those times when God's come down and did great things for us. And, you know, we need to encourage ourselves. If I get discouraged, I can't encourage you in Tom. So, Brother Bobby, there's times in your life you need just to encourage yourself. Why? So you can be encouraged to others. And then lastly, you want to be an encourager? Then encourage the man of God who loves you, who leads you in the way of the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Look at 138. No, this don't sound right. Where am I at? Look at 338. Is that right? Was 138 right? Maybe I'm not finding it.
320. How about that?
Yeah, I know. But 128, was it?
328.
Yeah, let's go 328. I can't find the first one that I wanted. I know 328, so I can see that. 328 of Deuteronomy. But charged Joshua, Moses charged and encouraged him and strengthened him, for he shall go. How many got that 328? For he shall go over before the people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. God knew Joshua was going to be the leader of the people. He took over after Moses. Are you with me? It's important that you encourage the man of God. He's your leader. No matter if it be me, Pastor Dave, or our deacons, or those in authority, encourage your leaders. Encourage your. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, it says that we watch over your souls. And when you encourage those that are in leadership, it encourages them to lead. Satan tries to discourage leaders. He don't get the fellow that's sitting back in the camp. He gets the fellow that's in the front line. The guy that's sitting back by the campfire, way beyond the fire, way beyond behind the battlefield, he's not worried about that guy. He's already out of the battle. It's the people on the front line. That's the ones Satan wants to work on the most. Because if he can stop the leaders from having you follow, then he can win a battle. Stand behind your leaders. Stand behind your preacher. Stand behind Pastor Dave and the things that all these deacons and anybody that's leading in our church. Stand with our leadership. It's important. Encourage them. Look, see what it says there? It said encourage them. Do you see that word? Encourage them. And so by you encouraging me and those that are in leadership, what it does, it helps me to lead you better. You ever think about that? When a preacher is encouraged and lifted up and happy instead of stressed out, are you with me? He's going to be an encourager to you even more so. Pump the light up, because the brighter light gets, the more light you have. Hello? Let's be an encouragement. Let's be an encourager. We live in a dark world today. It's dismal. Everywhere you look, people are looking for an encouragement. If there ever was a day that Christians ought to be an encourager, today is the greatest day for encouragement. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive unto myself that where I am, that you may be also. Aren't you glad he's coming back? Let's tell the whole world that he loves them. And let's let his love flow through us to them. Amen? Let's be an encourager. Who can we encourage this week? Pick out some people. Say, Lord, who could I be an encourager today? Every day you get, Lord, who could I encourage? Let me encourage somebody today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart that instead of being stumbling blocks, we'd be stepping stones. Instead of being discouragers and complainers and criticizers and with sarcasm and all kinds of, Lord, help us to be encouragers and, Lord, stepping stones that bring people to Christ. Help us to love one another, be tenderhearted, kind, forgiving one another. Lord, I just pray with all my heart that we could be the kind encouragers that you tell us to be in the Bible. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm saved and I know I'd go to heaven. Could you raise a hand? I'm sure I'm saved. I know I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put it down. Is there anyone tonight? Anyone here tonight say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Let me pray for this last prayer. Maybe you're a day and you say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I've been discouraged. I have been discouraged. Would you pray that God would encourage my life? Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. 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 Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see that. Yes, sir. I see. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I see that. God bless you. Pastor, I see a little hand there. I've been discouraged. Pray that God would encourage me. Yes. And then before I pray, let me have this last request. Maybe you know someone that you could be an encouragement. And even while I was preaching, God spoke to your heart. And someone came into your mind that you could be an encouragement. And you'd say, Preacher, I know someone right now that I need to be an encouragement to. Pray for me. I know someone I'm going to be an encouragement to. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you've seen all the hands on both sides of the building. And I pray with all my heart. Number one, first of all, Lord, I'm glad everyone said they were saved. There was not one hand that went up. Every hand went up, said they were a child of God. Thank you, Father. I want to praise you for that. Now, Lord, these are all children. These are your children. They're the redeemed of God. And so, Lord, I pray as the redeemed will say so. And I pray, dear Father, that we would have high praises on our lips for you. And that we would be in a world of discouragement. We would be bright, shining lights of encouragement. That we would have words of eternal life. And that we would have words of encouragement and comfort and hope for those that are troubled. I pray, Father, for those that are going through discouragement right now. Holy Spirit, come down. Lord, would you hug them, Father, right now? Lord, come down in this service and hug them from heaven. Put your arms around them. Hug them from heaven, Father. Let them know that you love them. Lift up their heart. Encourage them, Father. And then, Father, I pray that many raise their hand. They want to be an encouragement to others. I pray this week, Lord, may this week, Bethel Baptist Church, including this preacher, may we be an encouragement to others that we come in contact. God, help us to be an encourager. Please, Father, help me to be an encourager. And help, Lord, I saw a lot of hands go up. Said they had someone in their heart they wanted to be. Help them, Father. Give them wisdom what to do to be an encouragement. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. You want to come and pray? You pray. Thank you. say this to him, we're going to go home. People are still praying. How many of you have ever been encouraged and it just made your day? How many of you have ever had a discouraging day and someone said something, or they gave you a letter or your car or something, and just kind of pulled you out of the doldrums? And it wasn't that much when you look back, but it just took one small touch. Maybe a little card. Maybe a little phone call. Let's be an encourager. Say this with me. Lord, help me not to be a discourager. But help me be an encourager. I want to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. You never know, folks. I know this might have seemed real shallow tonight. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how people's lives. I just thought of young Billy Turner. We've got a preacher boy there in Lima building a great work for God. He was ready to give up. He was just ready to give it up all before he surrendered to preach. And the Lord put him on my heart. We were in a revival. I don't remember who was preaching, but we were in a revival. And I called Billy Turner. He'll tell you this himself. Turn that cell phone off. And it's not God calling, I'm telling you right now. No, I got the line for him right now. But Billy, I remember your son. He gives it... The Lord told me, he said, call Bill. Call Bill right now. And I called Billy and Melanie. I said, Billy, oh, this is 10 years ago. It's been a long time ago. Might have been more than 10 years. I said, Billy, God put you on my heart. I want to tell you I love you. And Lord, Billy, we're in a revival. I wish you and Melanie could come. He said it pricked his heart, changed, it encouraged him. They came that night. And from that day on forward to this day, they've been serving God. Amen. One phone call. One phone call. I don't think I was on 3 minutes with him. I know I was. I just said, Billy, you're on my heart. God told me to call you. And I want to tell you I love you. And we're in a revival. And I wish you and Melanie and the kids would come. See you tonight. And Bill, you ask Bill Jr., he'll tell you. That phone call, one little phone call, turned his whole, now he's preaching, doing the great work over there in Lima, Ohio for God. One phone call. Maybe that one word of encouragement. Don't have to be a phone call. Don't have to be a note. I don't know what it'd be. God will tell you. I'm just saying, let's be an encourager. Because you just never know who you're going to encourage and how much it's going to mean to their life. Amen? I remember Dr. Hiles. Boy, I love Dr. Hiles so much. I miss Dr. Hiles. He was the greatest preacher to ever walk the earth. Brother Phil, Dr. Hiles used to say this, be good to everyone because everyone's having a hard time. I'll never forget him saying it over and over. Be good to everyone because everyone's having a hard time. Let's remember that. Let's be an encourager for God. Amen. He's coming back. Let's try to be an encourager. Amen.